This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, this week on the Paracast, it's just me, Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien is on assignment, and he'll be back next week. In the meantime, and we'll introduce him in just a moment, but we have a guest who's written a fascinating book called It Came from Ohio. And when I saw that title, I first thought of a movie from the 1950s called It Came from Outer Space. But maybe there's a slight connection we're going to find out from James Rannon. But right now, let me just tell our listeners that we've gotten some just really good reactions to recent shows. It's been all-star all the time. Last week, for example, we had Ted Rowe of NARCAP, the National Aviation Reporting Center on Anomalous Phenomena, where they call... You've heard of them, right? They call UFOs UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, and really gracious guests, a lot of good information. We had the wild, outspoken guest, George Wingfield, the week before. But a little bit later, early in July, we're going to be featuring our old friend Nick Redfern, who we've made a guest co-host because sometimes he comes back and serves in that capacity. But every year he comes out with a couple of really fascinating books. And his latest one is called Close Encounters of the Fatal Kind, subtitled Suspicious Deaths, Mysterious Murders, and Bizarre Disappearances in UFO History. That's coming in early July, Nick Redfern. But today, It Came from Ohio. The author is James Renner. He's a journalist, he's a blogger, a novelist, and in his spare time, it says here, he hunts serial killers. Better you than me, James. Let me ask you before we go on with a few other things. How does one get involved in the hobby of chasing after a serial killer? And do you ever wonder if they might chase back after you?
You know, when I was a reporter at this magazine in Cleveland called Scene, and I also worked for the Free Times for a while, we had this editor. His name was Pete Kotz, a big surly guy, an old man from the sea character. I once went to him with that question, and I said, you know, what about these people that I'm writing about, these killers? Won't they come after me? And he said, Jimmy, they never come after the writer. They go after your sources. So don't worry about it. So, you know, he's right. It's never happened where they've come after me. Luckily, they didn't kill any of my sources either, but they generally don't go after the people that write the stories.
That assumes a measure of sanity or insanity, and I don't want to start a trend.
Yeah, right.
Now, let me tell you another story. Now, back in the 1970s, I was working as assistant news director for a country radio station in Charleston, South Carolina. And there was a funny scene there where our news director would do an evening gig at one of the local TV stations. And you'd see him wearing this sports jacket or suit every night. And one evening, live on the air, they pulled his desk, the anchor's desk, away from him, and he was wearing shorts. So, James Renner, obviously we're doing radio, and we only see a picture of you somewhere in the woods, probably escaping a serial killer, with a sign on your left. I'm going to ask you what that sign reads in a moment. But let me ask you, are you wearing shorts?
You'll never know. You'll never know. I could be in my tidy whities and a t-shirt on this end. I'll leave it to your imagination or your deepest, darkest nightmares, I guess. But no, it's good to know I can get away with that. I'll play some pocket hockey on this end.
Remember, radio is a theater of the mind. Or they said a mind is a terrible thing to waste. So if it comes to wasting minds, we're here to do it. All right, let's talk about your book. It Came from Ohio.
Yeah.
What inspired you to get involved in the weird, the unusual, the paranormal?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was a crime reporter for about 7-8 years up in Cleveland. And what I discovered was I'd go and report on these crimes, and I'd go into a person's house and I have to ask them about this murder or this serial killer or some scary person. And we talk about that case. And then it got to the point where I realized that some people just wait until they find somebody that collects stories. And as soon as they knew that I was interested in collecting stories, even though I was there talking about a different case, they would invariably want to tell me about this one weird thing that happened in their life, or this one weird story that they heard around the campfire when they were little. And I think people just give reporters, they kind of download all the weird stuff that's ever happened to them. And so I started collecting these random little bits of bizarre stories from across Ohio. And then in my spare time, I started looking into them the way I would research a crime. And I would go after sources, original source material. And I wanted to collect maybe about the top dozen or 13 different, what I consider the most credible weird stories in Ohio history. And so that's kind of how the book came out over the course of about 10 years.
Now, this is not a large book here. It's a pretty small book. It comes up to being like 112 pages or plus the cover. You can read it in a couple of hours.
Sure. And, you know, one of the reasons I did that is to make it super cheap as an ebook. I wanted to get an ebook out there and get people so that they were familiar with my writing. And so I think you can even get it as an ebook for like $2 or something like that.
All right. So there's no excuse for anyone in our audience, we have a worldwide audience, not to get a copy if it came from Ohio. But let me ask you the most obvious question our listeners will wonder about. Have you personally had any unusual experiences you'd like to reveal?
I'll tell a story that didn't even make it into the book. It's weird to share it because, you know, I consider myself a skeptic. And that's the way I went into researching some of these stories, even though I came out where, you know, a handful were stories I just can't explain even to this day. But this one thing happened to me, and I told my wife about this when we got together, and she looked at me really funny and thankfully still married me after it. But I was about 8 years old, and I was living out in the boonies of Portage County, south of Kent, Ohio, which is in northeast Ohio. And I grew up on this farm, and behind our farm, we had these Indian burial mounds, which is the perfect setting for a Stephen King story, right?
Always, always.
And we had the professor from Kent State come out and tell us, yes, in fact, these are Indian burial mounds. This is the tribe they were from, and this is how old they are. Just don't mess with them. So one day I was out there with my stepbrother, same age as I was. We were both 8 at the time, I believe. And we went very old school, went out to the woods to pick berries to make into a pie. His mother was going to make it into a pie. And so we were out there picking berries, and all of a sudden we both got this feeling that we were being watched. And we kind of looked at each other, and then this, I swear to God, this 3-foot-tall thing jumped out of the bushes and kind of yelled at us. And it was about 3 feet tall, maybe shorter, maybe more like 2 feet, 2.5 feet. It was dressed in these raggedy clothing, and in my mind would appear to have been something like, it looked like a troll. It looked like a troll from a kid's story. And so we screamed, dropped the berries, ran back to the house, got in trouble for dropping the berries. Eventually, the stepmother went out and got the berry bowl. And our parents got divorced shortly after that, and I didn't see my brother for many, many years. I tell my wife the story. She's like, nah. She's like, you're just remembering it wrong. Something, you know, that can't be. It must be a dream or something. And I got to where I was kind of believing her. Then I was reunited with this brother. Kyle is his name. And we happened to both be at the same birthday party. And this was just like a year or two ago. So 20-some years have passed. And I look at my wife and I said, I'm going to ask him about this. I said, you know, we'll finally see if he remembers anything. So I go up to him and she's with me and we're in the kitchen. And I say, Kyle, there's something about our childhood that I really need to ask you about. And it's going to sound totally crazy.
You know, what if we don't do this break? It's going to be even crazier because every single one of our sponsors will line up and they'll complain they're not getting their announcements. They paid all these big bucks to get these announcements on the show, and it's not being announced. Our guest is James Renner. The book is It Came From Ohio, And we're going to find out if his brother Kyle remembered this crazy thing that happened when they were together and they were young. You're in the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Here on the Paracast is Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien is away on assignment. He's in Illinois, so we decided to get a guest. We couldn't find one in Illinois. Of course, there are guests in Illinois. We got somebody from Ohio. It's James Renner, author of It Came From Ohio. And when I asked him if he remembered any childhood experiences with strange things, He remembered something that happened with his brother, but they were separated for many years. They finally get together, and he asks Kyle, his brother, whether or not he remembers the incident. So?
Yeah. So I ask him, I say, there's this something odd I have to ask you about our childhood. It's going to sound ridiculous. And before I could get it out, he stopped me and he said, you mean the little man that jumped out at us when we were picking berries? And my wife, her expression just went totally blank. And her, you know, we both went white. Oh my gosh, this really did happen. Whatever it was we saw that day. A couple years after that happened, I was still living on the property. I was probably about 12 or 13. And I went back out to that same area, out by the burial mounds. I came around to turn in the path, and there was this thing in the middle of the path, in the middle of the woods, by these burial mounds, that looked like no kind of dog I've ever seen. It was kind of like a greyhound, except four times as large, and it had more fur than any greyhound I've ever seen. And it just kind of regarded me, and I looked back at it. And then I slowly backed away and went back into the house. So there are some strange things happening back in those woods that I've never been able to explain.
Now, in that case, was it regarding you as a potential dinner or an invader? I don't know. Now, the little person you saw with your brother.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe it was a little person wearing some kind of coat or something. Yeah, maybe somebody left over from The Wizard of Oz and, you know, getting on in years and just hanging out.
Well, he did have a giant lollipop, so, you know, I don't know.
Could it have been a child?
You know, oddly enough, that's probably the best explanation. I found out, you know, because I shared this story on Reddit one day. There was some question up about what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you. And somebody got back and sent me a link to a story about this a little person who back in the 80s, which the time frame fits, he was going around mostly Pennsylvania and West Virginia. But for kicks, he would go out to like Girl Scout camps or Boy Scout camps and wait in the woods and dress up like this raggedy leprechaun. And when the kids would walk by, he would leap out and try to scare them. You know, he'd take a couple friends with him and they'd all laugh about it. And that was... So it's exactly what happened to us, but why he would decide to camp out in our woods is beyond me, because it wasn't really a high traffic area for kids.
Of course, nowadays, parents wouldn't let their kids go anywhere. We live in a different world nowadays.
Oh, I know. I know. I used to ride my bike, all my Huffy two-speed, all over the county out there.
You have kids?
I do. I have two. I have a boy that's 7 years old and a little girl that's two.
And the seven-year-old you wouldn't let out of your sight.
Oh no. He joined Cub Scouts recently, and I'm hovering like a hawk at all of his campouts and meetings and things like that.
That's the way it was when my son was seven, which was a long long time ago. We did precisely the same thing. Okay, so all told, James Renner, have you had any other unusual experiences that you might want to mention?
We live not far from this place in Ravenna called the Arsenal. It's a military base in northeast Ohio that is not on any map, but everybody that lives there has seen it and knows it's there. They just call it the Arsenal. I don't know what the real name is for it, but there are a lot of reports about lights, strange lights around the area. And on a couple occasions, my father and I actually saw some strange lights in the sky, this, you know, four or five in a formation that would get straight above you and then disappear, you know, or things in the distance. And I lived actually where I grew up out there by the Arsenal is one township over from this famous case where a Portage County deputy and his partner back in 1966 encountered a flying saucer and chased it all the way into western Pennsylvania.
I want to ask you about that next.
Okay.
But let's go back to this military base near you and what you saw. Then we'll go into Portage County. And by the way, that incident found its way in somewhat modified form into one of the early sequences of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And you also learn how sometimes a UFO sighting is so traumatic as to almost ruin someone's life. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's go back to your experiences.
Okay. Yeah, it was mostly that. It was, you know, we'd see these bizarre lights in the sky, and they were unexplained, mostly over the area of the arsenal. You know, I'd get scared because I'd be little, and my dad played up on that a little bit too, because we're not far from the Goodyear blimp hangar. And I remember one day I'm in the house, and he comes running inside and says, "The lights are back! The lights are back! It's right above us! I think it's an invasion!" And I go running out to see what it is, and I look up in the sky, and there's just hovering above our house are these bright lights just right out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is it. You know, flying saucers have invaded us. And then all of a sudden the lights formed into the brand that is Goodyear. And I realized it was the blimp.
So in large part, what you saw was probably something conventional.
I'd say for the most part, what we were seeing was probably conventional. Our military aircraft. Although the way some of these lights behaved out there were beyond any capability that we publicly know about.
Anyway, Portage County. Now, this is the scene early in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And most of you have heard about the case. But there's something which the late Paul Harvey used to call the rest of the story that James is going to tell us about in a moment.
Yeah.
But he'll first tell you about the sighting. Of course, it was kind of exaggerated for the movie where you have these police officers chasing a UFO from one state to another. Tell us what really happened and what happened to one of the witnesses, who, by the way, is Floyd. Let's go on.
So, yeah, the story begins in 1966.
And we have 35 seconds left, so let's start it here and continue in the next segment. Go ahead.
Okay. It begins in 1966. There's this deputy sheriff named Dale Spaller. And he is there with his partner, Wilbur Neff, and they're patrolling the back roads of Portage County, but they've got the midnight shift, and it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're driving down 224, and on the side of the road, they see this truck, and it's a weird truck that has these strange military-like symbols on it, a triangle with a lightning bolt in the center, with words around it that says, "Seven Steps to Hell." And inside the truck is all this electronic equipment. And so they get out to investigate it and figure out where the driver is. And as soon as they step out, this saucer, according to police reports that Spar made later, the saucer rose up from the trees behind the car and hovered above the road. And it was so bright, it was like daylight outside.
The book is It Came from Ohio. We'll hear about Dale Spar and his partner and what happened to Dale. More coming. You're in the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
America. Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes four number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and two cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get one case for only $179, two cases for only $355, or get three cases for only $515, and all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze-Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
James Renner joins us. The book is It Came from Ohio. We're exploring all the weird cases, but the one in Portage County, Ohio, where a couple of police officers, they see this flying saucer that just lights up the entire area.
Mm-hmm.
What happened next?
It's like daylight, and so Dale radios in to dispatch and describes what they have out there, and he describes it as, I think Wilbur described it as an upside-down ice cream cone. It was a saucer, but it had this weird little part that stuck out on the top and seemed to be using the light as a propellant. It was kind of like hovering on top of the light source. And they radio into dispatch, and of course, dispatch, what does dispatch tell them? Shoot it down. And so Dale Spar pulls his weapon, and when he does, this thing takes off down the road. And it's old Route 14 that it kind of heads down, this old route. So they get in their cruiser, and they give chase. And as they start going, this disc goes faster and faster until they're driving in speeds of excess of 100 miles an hour.
It's like it was allowing them to keep up, but not going too fast to make it impossible.
That's what Spar thought. That's what he said later on. He had a feeling that it was enjoying the chase or wanted them to chase it. So this is a really good story in many ways, mostly because of the witnesses, the credible witnesses that pop up around this around this piece, you know, because they're all police officers. Along the chase, Spar and Neff are joined by police in two other jurisdictions. And so you've got three different police cruisers shooting down old Route 14 after this flying saucer. It must have been a very interesting sight for people to see as they're waking up that morning. And they get all the way to western Pennsylvania. They cross the border into PA, and just as they're getting across the border, the cruiser starts to sputter. It's just had too much. They've driven it too fast and too hard. They pull into a gas station. The cruiser finally stops. It's dead. It never drives again. And the disc covers for a minute and then shoots up into space, never to be seen.
Interesting that as soon as the car was disabled, the flying saucer pilots had enough?
Yeah. Yeah. Some, I have my own theories as to where it came from, but that's the general story that I had heard growing up, because, you know, I grew up not too far from where this happened, and it was always a rumor. And so it was one of the stories I looked into, and you alluded to Paul Harvey, right? The rest of the story, and eventually I did get the rest of the story.
Now, understand here. Officially, the Air Force said it was something conventional.
Well, actually, okay, yeah, that's another part of the story we should mention.
Or at least the Air Force did, but maybe Dr. J. Allen Hynek didn't.
Mm-hmm. So after the sighting, they go. Spar and Neff return home. Somebody gives them a lift back. The cruiser never works again. They might have ridden with the tow company. When they get back, Project Blue Book arrives a couple days later, led by Hector Quintanilla and J. Allen Hynek, of course. And they come into town, and they interview Spar and Neff and the other officers involved in the chase. And actually, Quintanilla speaks to the newspapers and says that what they were chasing was the planet Venus. This is what Spar saw rising from the trees and lighting up the ground like it was daytime. And chasing all the way into western PA.
You see, Venus was moonlighting. It didn't like being a planet all the time and having a hot surface, so decided to moonlight. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. So Spar was so angry at that. And, of course, the papers picked up on that, and they just had their fun with it. They made Spar look like this kind of bumbling idiot that chased Venus all the way into PA and really gave him a hard time. He ended up, the last anybody had heard from Dale Spar before I reported on it and started researching the case was about 6 months after the UFO incident. A reporter found him living out of a hotel, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on making $50 a week. He had lost his job as deputy sheriff. He'd lost his family. He'd gotten a divorce. And it was all traced back to the story and that night with the UFO, and it completely, completely destroyed his life.
Understand something. Before I got a hold of you, yeah. I was doing some research on this story.
Oh.
Okay? And it was helping out James Fox and Tracy Tormey, where they have a motion picture called 701 The Movie. And I did some research for them. And they wanted to decide whether to include this case or not. So I did some research, and everything that you check online ends at the fact that Dale Spar was found 6 months after the incident, living in a cheap hotel, having given up his entire former life.
Yep.
But you, amongst everybody, decided to find out what happened next, because that's back in 1966, and you're working on the book in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to Dale Spar?
Well, I got lucky. What we did was we published the original story about this incident in Scene Magazine. And shortly after it was published, I got an email from Dale Spar's son. His name, he goes by James Evans now because he was adopted by his stepfather after his parents got a divorce. But he looks exactly like his father. Dale Spar was an abnormally large man, just all around big. I think he was 6'7". It's hard to come across in the pictures, but just a giant. And his son's the same way. His son's just a big guy. He was in the Marines and not the type of guy you'd want to mess with. And we met up at a place called Mike's Place in Kent, which was a very appropriate place to meet because anybody from that area knows Mike's Place is the seedy restaurant with the giant X-wing fighter parked out front that the owner had made out of old fabricated steel. So we met inside, and he told me the rest of the story about what happened to his father, and it's just as interesting. According to his son, and I've checked this out enough to verify that Spar was where he said he was this whole time. According to his son, after he was in that hotel living on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, he decided to move back to West Virginia, where his family was from. And he got a job in a mine out there, an old coal mine. And one day he was in the lift and it malfunctioned. He fell down this shaft and broke his back and several other bones and ended up in this coma for about a month. And James remembers going to the hospital to visit his dad when he was still in a coma. And in this hospital, and he was in the waiting room, in the hallway right outside his room with his mother. And it was time for the daily cleaning and sponge bath. And the nurse goes in to take care of his father, who, mind you, is still in a coma all of a sudden and has not had a chance to talk to any of the doctors or nurses. They don't know anything about the story in Ohio. All of a sudden, the nurse screams and goes running out of the room. And when they finally calm her down, they asked her what's wrong. And all she would say was, "That is not a human. That man is not human. There's something inside of him." And so that's always kind of given me the creeps. And so Spar eventually woke up a couple weeks later and recuperated. He moved to Lakewood and bought a bar called The Avenue, I believe. A very popular bar on Detroit Street in Lakewood, Ohio, which is by Cleveland. And that's what he did for the rest of his life. He bartended and ran this bar with his new wife up in Rocky River. And he did that for about 20 years until he eventually died of natural causes. The one other thing that James told me was that he remembers being at his funeral, his father's funeral in 1982, I believe it was. And this tribe of Native Americans showed up at the funeral.
All right. That's a good cliffhanger. Why did the tribe of Native Americans show up at Dale Spar's funeral? James Renner joins us. You're in the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than Proactiv. Announcing all new Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary new way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-721-4255 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. And more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-721-4255. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. You won't see this limited-time offer on TV. It's a radio exclusive. 1-800-721-4255. 1-800-721-4255.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We're on the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. We're having a little fun this week. We're talking to James Renner, author of It Came From Ohio. He's talking about the strange case of Dale Spar, who was really traumatized after he saw a UFO. Now, James, how old was Spar when he died? Couldn't have been very old.
No, I think he was in his 60s, I think. Early 60s? He wasn't that old.
Okay. The question I have here is, how did the flying saucer get named Floyd?
Yeah. So he always referred to this this flying saucer as Floyd. Anybody asked him about it, and he would say, they'd ask him, hey, Dale, have you seen Floyd this week? Because another thing that Spar had told his family and his partners and his friends was that after the chase into western Pennsylvania, he'd go outside at night behind his house, and he said this thing would be hovering, you know, above his house in the sky, and whatever it was visiting him over and over again. And he decided to start calling the flying saucer Floyd, which is very interesting because Floyd is Dale Spar's middle name. So it was an odd choice for him.
All right, so he kept seeing this object over and over again.
Oh, yeah. That's what he'd mentioned to friends and family, although nobody else has come forward saying that they were with him when he had these further sightings. I eventually tracked down Wilbur Neff, Dale's partner, who was with him that night of the chase, and Neff lives in Florida now. Or did a few years ago when we spoke, and he corroborates everything that, from the reports, and is adamant that what they saw that night was extraterrestrial, but doesn't like talking about it. His quote was that before he saw the UFO, he'd always look up into the skies because he was fascinated by planes and all that. He said ever since then, he just keeps his eyes on the ground, because it's brought nothing but heartache.
I understand that. Wow. Now, you said when we first started talking about this case that you had some ideas as to what they saw.
Yeah. We had mentioned the Native Americans. There's really not much more to that story, although the family, nobody had invited this Native American tribe that showed up at Dale Spar's funeral. They just showed up on their own and you know, as soon as he was buried, they kind of quietly went away. So nobody, to this day, nobody really knows about, you know, what that was all about. But I have some theories about what it could be. What I found interesting was a connection that nobody else had made before, which was if you keep going down old Route 14 in the direction that this flying saucer was traveling, you will come to the town of Kecksburg. It goes right into Kecksburg. And, of course, anybody that's familiar with UFO lore knows Kecksburg is the site of a crash, a supposed flying saucer crash that occurred in, 1965? December 1965? So I've always wondered if what they saw that night wasn't a reconnaissance ship searching for this downed saucer in Kecksburg.
The Kecksburg incident occurred December 9th, 1965. And we've had several shows about it over the years.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think this was really a conventional aircraft, but then if they're outside and the craft is that close, wouldn't they hear a noise?
You would think. Well, you know, here's the theory that I've come up with. You know, because we've got the arsenal out there, which wasn't far from where Spar started chasing this UFO. And you have to remember the fact of how this all this started, which is they were investigating this abandoned vehicle. And it wasn't just any abandoned vehicle. It was an abandoned vehicle that was filled with strange electronic equipment that seemed military, that was parked right behind where this flying saucer supposedly came out of the ground. I think, or up from the trees. I think it was some sort of military craft, and that vehicle was there to fix it. You know, perhaps, you know, the extraterrestrial connection that you could make. And I'm open to the idea that there are extraterrestrials, certainly. The connection you can make is that whatever it was, you know, perhaps it was whatever they recovered from Kecksburg. The arsenal is one of the closest places they could have shipped it. Maybe they decided to give it a test flight. Let's see if we can get this baby up in the air. And it came down in the woods. They sent a guy to fix it. And when it came up, oh my gosh, there's cops here. We got to get out of here. We can't let them see us drive it back into the arsenal. So perhaps that's what happened. That's the best explanation I can come up with.
Well, it's a conventional explanation. Whether it fits the facts, I don't know. But certainly the thing here is, though, if it was a conventional aircraft, you think a middle-aged police officer would be smart enough to know that and not get completely freaked out over it.
Well, I guess it depends on what your definition of conventional is. I certainly don't think it was a plane. I think it was either, you know, something that was recovered from Kecksburg. I guess what I'm trying to say is I think it was being flown by humans. You know, was it a recovered extraterrestrial craft, or was it something that the military was designing in secret? I think it could have been either one of those. So I guess conventional is the wrong word. You know, it certainly wasn't, an airplane or anything like that. But I do believe it was piloted by human intelligence.
Now, have you done any further studies into UFO cases? Certainly this is one of the more notable ones, particularly in the way that Dale Spar's life was so screwed up after it happened. Have you found any other cases worth mentioning related to UFOs?
I like this case there's another case in here I talk about, and it came from Ohio, this case out of Mansfield. And again, it has military connections, and it's good from a reporting standpoint because of the sources. It involves four men traveling in a helicopter over Mansfield who encountered what they claim to this day was a flying saucer, and that they were captured in its tractor beam. And it was a green tractor beam of some sort. It all happened over the skies of Mansfield. And I believe it was back in 1972. And I like this story for a couple reasons. Each of these witnesses inside the helicopter were very intelligent people. Some were scientists. They all went on to do great things with their life. At the time, they were in the Air Force Reserves, I believe. And they had just what nobody had reported on. You know, everybody reported on this sighting and this encounter with a UFO over Mansfield. What got lost in the reporting was the fact of what they were doing up in the sky to begin with. they were coming back from a evaluation at Wright Patt Air Force Base, and they were flying back to Cleveland on this in this helicopter, and they had gone out there to do a series of psychological tests, which is interesting for many reasons. Wright Patterson, as anybody you know into this lore knows, is supposedly where they took the crashed disc that crashed into Roswell, New Mexico back in 1947. It supposedly ended up in Hangar 18 out at Wright Patt. And but Wright Patt's also known as one of the places where the military was developing very odd psychological and chemical weapons during the Cold War. So you've got these four men that had just had a psychological eval at Wright Patt, and they happened to encounter a UFO over Mansfield. I'm wondering if this wasn't some psychological experiment done by the military. Perhaps they were given some sort of psychotropic drug, and, you know, either were the military sent an aircraft to intercept them over Mansfield to see how they would react, or maybe that was just mass hallucination, you know, that fun notion of folie à deux. And it just overtook them. You know, I think it's more than just coincidence that they were returning from Wright Patt when they encountered this thing.
You know, it would be interesting here to trace other sightings and find officers in the military who were at Wright Patterson may have undergone this. You wonder how many sightings might have been the result of psychological experiments, and you got to be lucky that people didn't die as a result.
Oh, yeah, and maybe they did. You know, maybe there are some instances, you know, you mentioned that the guy that's writing that book about fatal encounters with UFOs. I know there have been a few pilots in the military that have supposedly encountered UFOs that they crashed, you know, that people have died.
Of course, there's the Mantell incident, but we don't know whether he underwent any treatment at Wright-Patterson. In any case, we've got James Renner. Don't know what kind of treatment he's had, and some people wonder what kind of treatment I've had. But that's another story, because this is the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.